Basically, I was struck by something revolutionary happening right now in both war and maybe even human history. We went into Iraq with a handful of drones. We now have 7,000. We went into Iraq with zero unmanned ground vehicles. We now have 12,000. And these are just the Model T Fords, or the Wright Flyers, compared to what's coming. And so I thought this was a rather big deal. You know, the robots of science fiction are starting to play out on our modern-day battlefield. And so I set off to just gather the stories of everyone that's involved, everything from what it's like to work as a scientist on these systems. What do the science fiction authors think about this? How about the military? What's it like to be a 19-year-old drone pilot fighting in Iraq but never leaving Nevada? What does a four-star general think about it? But also, let's look at the other side. How about an Iraqi insurgent? What does he think about it? What does the news journalist in Lebanon or Pakistan think? The guy sitting in Human Rights Watch or the International Red Cross who's trying to figure out the laws of war with these systems. So it's basically trying to gather all these stories of something incredible going on right now.
And is there a broader impact to this? Because, I mean, there's certainly sort of on the face of it, it seems almost efficient to have, you can have people in California operating these drones that are going on. So it all of a sudden we don't have to put our men in harm's way.
And women.
Our men and women in harm's way. It's almost, there's almost becomes a detachment with, this almost becomes like a video game.
That's the issue here, is that anytime you have one of these new revolutionary technologies, be it the printing press, the computer, the machine gun, the atomic bomb, they have ripple effects. That is, they don't just raise new questions. They raise new questions about what's possible, but also what's proper. So, for example, yes, using these systems are saving literally hundreds, if not thousands, of American soldiers' lives. And that's why they're very much big fans of them. But it also is changing certain meanings in war. You know, how about the meaning going to war? Well, it used to meant, you know, for example, my grandfather fought in World War II in the Pacific. That meant he went to a place where there was such danger he might never return. Well, the phrase going to war for a Predator drone pilot, you know, involves them commuting to work in the morning,
right,
putting missiles on targets for 12 hours and then going back home at the end of their day and talking to their kids about their homework. Or what's the impact of this on our democracy, and does it make us more likely or less likely to use force in war? Or how about the laws of war? You know, how do you do accountability when you are using more and more machines that are starting to make more and more of their own decisions?
And the sociological impact of blowing somebody up from a couple of tens of thousands of miles away, like you had alluded to earlier, like you're playing a Game Boy.
Yeah, there's a great scene in the book where someone in Human Rights Watch gets in an argument in front of me with another person in their organization, and they're arguing over which laws of war should apply and what should we turn to, and they got in a dispute as to whether the Geneva Conventions or the Star Trek Prime Directive were going to be most useful to us.
Wow.
You can't make that stuff up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's, you know, amazing, and it points to me about how we're sort of grasping at straws when we have 20th century laws of war that we're trying to apply to these 21st century technologies. Or there's another example, you know, what's the policy impact of using these systems on the very real, very human war of ideas that we're fighting against radical groups? You know, what is the message we think we're sending with our technology versus how it's being received? You know, we're using these systems because they save lives, and they're also incredibly effective. 11 out of the top 20 al-Qaeda leaders we've gotten via drone strikes. But they also have a ripple effect on the war of ideas. You know, one of the most popular songs in Pakistan last year talked about how America only looks at Pakistanis like they look at insects.
Hmm.
And so you may have this short and long-term balancing going on that we have to figure out.
Have these been, by and large, these things have been fairly effective in their use? If you're just looking at it as efficiency, fewer people killed, and actually carrying out the mission that we want them to, correct?
These systems wouldn't be used if they didn't work. And in a certain way to think about this, you are the weakest link when it comes to war.
Yeah.
That these systems are seen as being very good for jobs in war that are either dull, dirty, or dangerous. Dull. Can you keep your eyes open for 30 hours straight looking at empty desert sands? A robot can. Dirty. Can you see in the middle of a dust storm? Can you see at night? Can you operate in a chemical or biological warfare environment? A robot can. And then most importantly, dangerous. You can send out that machine on the mission to defuse that roadside bomb or go first into that building to see see if there's an insurgent behind the door, or go into a territory where there's a lot of anti-aircraft missiles, you can send that machine and not have to worry about writing a letter home to its mother. But again, the story doesn't end there. It has all sorts of effects. So, you know, one thing we're seeing, for example, is the rise of what we can call YouTube war. That is, these machines don't just remove the human from risk, but they record everything that they see. And so a lot of people are taking these video clips of what they record and turning them into this sort of bizarre form of entertainment where they email around combat footage of what they're seeing. You know, one of the ones I got was video of a Predator drone strike that was set to music, almost like a music video on MTV.
Yeah.
So again, we're just starting to see some of these weird, wild stuff come out of this.
I wonder also if I could get down to the more granular level. And you mentioned World War II, and my grandfather was also in the Pacific in World War II. And it was a mysterious, foreign place, and you hoped to get letters back, and you hoped your letters reached him. And then there was Vietnam. My uncle fought in Vietnam. Again, mysterious, foreign place, but the first living room war. And again, the letters hoping they get what we sent them. But then there was this evolution into the Iraq war. And when my brother fought in Iraq, I got an email from him almost every day, every other day. If I didn't get at least 3 emails a week, I started to worry. Is this sort of a natural evolution using the technology, not just for communication, but to actually fight the war itself? Do they go hand in hand?
It's a great issue, and you're seeing greater connections between those who are fighting and those who are at home. And in fact, you even now have people who are at home fighting. And one of the things that we're just starting to see is this weird irony where it may actually be leading to greater stress on those who are fighting. Yeah. That is, to still be tightly linked with what's going on at home while they still have to be on mission. When you speak with the drone pilots who are based out of places like Nevada and the like, they talk about this weird experience of being at war and then still having to deal with the day-to-day at home. You know, the toilet's broken, you were late for the PTA meeting, your kid's birthday party you've got to plan for. And actually, one of the things that's happening is they have, for many of these units, higher levels of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, than some of the units deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan. And the irony may be that being with your family in the midst of war is not the best of all possible worlds.
When I was reading the early parts of the book, you almost got this sense of something out of Terminator or something like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, like all of a sudden this is going in a place that we may, you know, the ramifications, the ripple effects as time goes on, we might not even fully understand yet.
I think so. I mean, every so often you have these technologies that really do change things. They change the rules of the game. Now, the aspect with robotics, and, you know, this is, of course, the Terminator link to it, is that every other technology like that, be it, you know, the computer or the telegraph or the machine gun or the atomic bomb, they changed the how of war. That is, they were a system that allowed people to have weapons that either had a bigger boom or shoot faster or go further. And that's definitely the case with robotics. But robotics are the first one that changes the who of war at the most fundamental level. That is, they reshape not only warriors' experience, but the very identity of warriors.